This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 15th, 2022. I'm Caleb Brown. The FDA, at least for now, is moving forward with proposed regulations to ban menthol cigarettes. Cato's Jeff Singer and Guy Bentley of the Reason Foundation detail why banning menthols would create some of the predictable results of prohibition, and why it makes little sense as youth smoking has plunged in recent years.
Before we get into what the FDA is doing today, let's get some backstory here. The FDA at some point decided that flavored cigarettes, because they were appealing to children, and it was never really clear whether this was an intention, I suppose, of the companies selling them, because plenty of adults liked flavored cigarettes, but kids might be attracted to them as well. So what was the decision made? The 90s, early 2000s? Guy, how did this come together?
So the last time the FDA really looked into this was 2009 in the Tobacco Control Act, where they did ban all flavored cigarettes with the exception of menthol. So actual, like, so your candy cigarettes and things like that that were seen as particularly youth appealing. They decided not to go for a menthol ban. And that was at the time supported by people like the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, because they said there is a large adult market, it might have massive unintended consequences. And I think they also possibly knew that it was not an overwhelming favorite with youth. I think back then it was still around 50-50. Now it's a minority choice of the tiny numbers of youth who do smoke. So they did make an exception back in 2009.
Okay, so Jeff, what do we know about menthol cigarettes? Are they particularly damaging to people relative to the straight-up tobacco?
No, there is some weak evidence that it might enhance the nicotine effect. But otherwise, no, it's just a flavor that's preferred. And it's interesting that teen smoking levels have hit record lows while menthol cigarettes have been available. So it doesn't seem that there's any evidence that menthol cigarettes are in any way increasing or, contributing to persistent teen smoking.
Yeah, and what you would have expected if menthols were more attractive to young people, that as smoking was declining, menthols would have become a larger share of cigarette consumption, at least among young people. So what is the FDA now considering?
So the FDA is now considering, they've put forward their proposed rule to the Office of Management and Budget to analyze its costs and benefits. And what it is a proposal for is a complete ban on all menthol cigarettes, and also characterizing flavors in small cigars and so on. So it would be a complete prohibition like we see in the European Union and Canada, and indeed one state so far, Massachusetts, has a complete ban on flavored tobacco products.
Okay, so how do Swisher Sweets still exist?
Well, I think the Swisher Sweet market for little cigars, which is still very popular, but not really for smoking just themselves. That is mostly used for the marijuana market in terms of people using Swisher Sweets. So even the claim that these are massively popular for smoking as of themselves amongst youth is also just not really borne out by the realities. Anybody who understands how the marijuana market consumption works. But flavored cigars were thrown in there as an additional prohibition because under the very same, I believe, false claims that they are particularly appealing to youth. I mean, when we look at the youth smoking rate, the share of menthol, it's 41% of the tiny number of kids who smoke menthol. So most kids don't smoke menthol. Menthol smokers smoke fewer cigarettes per day, and they start later. So it's a very tough argument for the FDA to make.
So, Jeff, what do you expect to be the consequences of this? I understand the FDA wants to make smoking less attractive to adults and young people alike.
Well, if we base it on the evidence from previous prohibitions of anything else, we're going to see, number one, an increase black market in illicit menthol cigarettes. In fact, the EU banned all menthol cigarettes in May of 2020, and there have been reports of a large black market in what they call illicit whites, which are, menthol cigarettes, many of them sold individually that are coming in from Eastern European countries, particularly Belarus is a big source. So we could expect that, as with prohibition of anything else, you're going to see a new market open up for perhaps the drug cartels or any other illegal gangs. In addition, it becomes more dangerous because some of these illicit whites, for example, have toxic components, that many of them don't have the ring that prevents the cigarette when it's just left alone from catching fire and snuffing it out. So I don't think it's going to deter people from using menthol cigarettes. It's just going to make sure that it's much more dangerous to use them, and it'll increase crime.
I can imagine that people might switch, people who have a strong preference for menthol cigarettes might switch to rolling their own and trying to add chemical components directly to the cigarette. Is that likely, or have we seen something similar?
The Foundation for a Drug-Free World did a survey about a year out from the ban in Europe, and they found that a significant portion of people found ways to mentholize their cigarettes. There was no appreciable decrease in cigarette and tobacco smoking, but many people who like to smoke menthol cigarettes purchased these different products that allowed them to give the menthol flavor to their cigarettes. Roughly an equal portion who said in the survey that they got them from outside sources, which of course are sources like I mentioned earlier.
Guy, what is the FDA's rationale here? It seems like if they're interested in public health, that telling people that they can't have certain products, knowing that some people will try to continue to consume them either illegally or making their own, what is their rationale?
The rationale remains that this will deter youth use of cigarette products, which, as Jeff points out, is now at a historic low. It's 1.9% of high school students smoke, and that's defined as having a puff in the last 30 days. In terms of high school students who smoke regularly, it's 0.38%. So functionally, cigarette smoking has disappeared amongst youth in America, but that is still part of the rationale for getting rid of these products. It's claimed that a prohibition of this kind affecting around a third of the cigarette market will still have a downward pressure on smoking rates. But as Jeff points out, both in the EU and also in other markets as well, we haven't seen appreciable declines in cigarette smoking. For instance, in Canada, when they implemented a menthol ban, it was claimed that around 20% of menthol smokers had given up after the ban. But then again, what they failed to include in that is that non-menthol smokers had basically the same quit rates as menthol smokers. So the ban doesn't seem to be working as well as intended. But FDA is going to have a real challenge on its hands to say why it's going for a huge prohibition, a massive prohibition affecting something like 17 million Americans, when there are viable alternatives, such as, for instance, authorizing reduced risk nicotine products like menthol e-cigarettes and other products, so menthol smokers, if they want to quit, can switch to something safe and regulated.
Yeah, there was, I can remember, because I am that old, and a bit of a personal note here, I quit smoking cigarettes in 2013, which was, I can tell you the exact moment, which was the exact moment I discovered that there were vaping products available to me, and haven't looked back. And there were a wide variety of flavors available. There was chai tea or creme brulee or a number of these other flavors that, at least in my personal experience, getting away from that tobacco flavor was a key component of making it stick with me and trying to get away from cigarette smoking.
Actually, that's what the research shows as well, that most people who use e-cigarettes to quit tobacco smoking prefer the flavored as opposed to the tobacco flavored. And of course, banning the flavored e-cigarettes is working against efforts to get to help tobacco smokers get off of tobacco.
Now, to the extent that the FDA is not really, I guess, considering a lot of evidence regarding smoking here that you two have pointed out, they seem to be taking a very similar tactic when it comes to e-cigarettes as well. which is they don't seem to be drawing a distinction between them, cigarettes and e-cigarettes, for the purposes of the health of the person who would be consuming them.
Indeed. In fact, since the FDA, there was supposed to be final getting more decisions on authorizations for e-cigarettes last year, really from September onwards. And we've only had one e-cigarette authorized in the United States, and it's a product called Vuse Solo, and only in tobacco flavors. And but very few people actually use that product, and we have been waiting a huge amount of time for FDA to approve other products. And it's crucial FDA doesn't just approve the products it's reviewing right now to ensure that consumers have access to a safe and safer regulated product, but that actively informs the public about the relative risks of e-cigarettes. Because right now, around 90% of Americans think e-cigarettes are either just as dangerous or more dangerous than combustible cigarettes, with only around 2.6% of Americans thinking rightly that e-cigarettes present far less risk than combustible tobacco. So that is a huge communication failure on the FDA's part. We've seen communication failures from a number of public health agencies over the past several years, but that is a huge one. When it comes to tobacco control, instead of prohibition, you have a very low-cost, easy way to have consumers switch to safer products. You can have successful businesses making money, making it easier for people to quit smoking. That really should be a success story.
I hesitate to psychoanalyze the public health officials and regulators, but it appears to me that they have like a zero tolerance policy for anything that simulates tobacco smoking. And since e-cigarettes kind of, you know, conjure up memories in their minds of tobacco smoking, that's why I think they are intolerant of it. I think an important point also that we need to mention is that a menthol tobacco ban is going to lead to more interactions between law enforcement and individuals, particularly individuals in minority communities, because the evidence is that menthol cigarettes are particularly popular or more popular relative to other communities among minorities. Of course, we're all very familiar with that horrible story of Eric Garner in Staten Island, who was killed for selling Lucy's, as they were called. So we could, here we are creating yet another reason to have law enforcement interact with the regular population when they don't have to. And that could lead to bad outcomes, unfortunately. It's interesting that there are a couple of significant law enforcement organizations that for that reason oppose a menthol ban. They're concerned about the smuggling and about the increased risk of police misconduct and violent interactions with otherwise nonviolent regular people.
When do we expect this to come down from the FDA? They've submitted their rule that seems to trigger 90 days at least for public comment and that sort of thing. So what do you expect? When do you expect that to come?
Well, the FDA will publish its formal rule and open it up to comment from the public and interested parties. We expect sometime in April, probably late April, and I believe we should have several months of comment after that. I believe possibly 4 months or so of comment might be a bit less or a bit more. And FDA will have to review all of those comments and take in consideration evidence presented and what the general public is thinking about this. And so the process could be quite a long and drawn out one, because FDA will then have to review those comments and submit a final rule with a date for the proposed implementation of the ban. Personally, I do not expect this really being implemented anytime soon, if at all. I think the case was for banning menthol, if there was one at all, was probably much stronger 10, 15 years ago. But now with youth smoking virtually non-existent and safer alternatives for adults, the case has become very, very weak. So I am personally bullish on the idea that this will actually be killed and never actually make it to an implementation date, either through a change of administration or the FDA quietly abandoning it, because they could face very significant lawsuits, and they would have to prove in court a real scientific rationale why to ban menthol cigarettes and not the cigarettes that most people smoke and smoke more of and at a younger age.
Jeff Singer is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. Guy Bentley directs consumer freedom research at the Reason Foundation. Subscribe to and give a rating to the Cato Daily Podcast on your podcast platform of choice. And follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.